Jaina reached the woman just as the blaster pistol cleared its holster and quickly pushed it down. A single bolt pinged off the floor and began to bounce around inside the projection equipment. Jaina cursed under her breath, then slammed a side hammer fist into her attacker's jaw hinge, catching the nerve bundle just under the ear. The projectionist fell instantly unconscious and dropped to the floor in a heap. Jaina peered through the one-way panel and saw many of the images in the hologram starting to break up. Down in the forum's front seats, a cluster of 20 men dressed in metal-heavy Imperial uniforms were scowling up at the display. They did not appear to have any aides with them, but a detail of stormtroopers in the gray armor of the Remnant's elite guard were stationed a dozen meters away, on the small apron area between the forum's uppermost seats and the exit doors. There was, of course, no sign of Darth Kydus. She closed the hatch at the back of the booth, locking it from the inside, so any Remnant security personnel coming after her would have to cut their way into the booth. Then heard a muffled chain of thuds as the Mandalorians began their assault on the Moffs. Jaina extended the barrel of her quiet snipe and went to the projection aperture in the center of the booth's front wall. Unlike the transparisteel panel through which the projectionist had been watching the holograms, the aperture was just an empty hole through which the holoprojector beam could pass without suffering any image degradation, or through which a mag pellet could pass without being deflected. By the time Jaina had reached the projection aperture, most of the elite guard lay more or less helpless on the floor. At least 24 elite guard had escaped the carnage of the initial assault, and now they were retreating toward the front seats. As soon as they saw the Mandalorians, they began to fire up toward the apron with their repeating blasters, slowing the onslaught, but hardly stopping it. A string of bolts slipped beneath the bottom edge of a Mandalorian helmet and sent it tumbling away, the head inside trailing curls of smoke and blood. The fellow's companions were too disciplined to look or even acknowledge the reminder of their own mortality, but the assault did stall for just an instant. No strangers to battle themselves, the troopers of the elite guard sensed the minuscule shift in momentum and immediately changed tactics, concentrating their fire on the most exposed Mandos. A torrent of fiery beams drove a brown-armored Mandalorian to the stairs, where he lay thrashing and cooking inside his armor, until a lucky bolt finally found a seam and put him out of his misery. With only 5 enemies remaining, the elite guard started to advance back toward the upper rows of seats, literally pushing their foes ahead of them with blaster bolts. Another Mandalorian went down, a melt hole opening in his breastplate, when he made the mistake of presenting the same side of his armor to the Imperials for too long. The Mandalorians finally gave up their charge and dived for cover between the seats. Eager to press their advantage, the elite guard began to race upward, stepping from seat top to seat top and blowing apart whole rows in their attempts to get at their enemies. The Moffs began to show their heads, shouting encouragement and orders, usually conflicting, to their bodyguards. And that was what Myrta had been waiting for. 4 grenades flew up from behind the seats. Explosives weren't necessarily the most accurate or certain way to kill someone, but they were alarming. About half the elite guard turned to dive for cover before it grew apparent that the grenades were arcing over their heads, down toward the Moffs. Several meters from where the grenades had originated, Myrta and Roger came over the seats, firing and leaping across rows. 3 Imperials went down with scorch holes in their armor before they could react, and 2 more fell to the floor, still spinning when they turned to fire, and were rewarded with bolts through the faceplates. Then, when the remaining guards turned toward the 2 bounding commandos, Batok and the last Mandalorian popped up from where the grenades had originated. They began to lay covering fire, catching 6 Imperials square in the back, bringing the odds close enough to even that Myrta and Roger were almost assured of reaching the Moffs in one piece. But Jaina was far more interested in the grenades. Instead of detonating in the midst of the Moffs, they seemed to catch a non-existent wind and drift through the deteriorating hologram toward her projection booth. She could think of only one explanation for such an odd flight. Kydus. He was coming to the Moff's defense. The grenades were heading in her direction, under her brother's control. Convinced she knew what that meant, terrified she knew, she lowered her quiet snipe and reached out to the grenades in the Force. Then, felt them drop away. They detonated outside the booth, somewhere a few meters below. The floor shook beneath her, and a blinding curtain of light and flame shot up in front of the image aperture. The sound of Jaina's pulse pounding in her ears changed to sharp banging, and the acrid smell of detonite and smoke scorched her nostrils. Then a lightsaber snap hissed to life out in the forum and began to whine and whir through a deflection pattern. Still, Jaina did not quite grasp that she had been mistaken, that the approaching grenades had not been a sign of her brother's omniscience, merely a coincidence of timing and location, until she began to hear the chee-choo of blaster bolts being deflected by Kaidus's blade.